KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
Today's Newsmaker segment's brought to you by Hometown Healthcare, providing in-home skilled nursing and therapy services for you. So, to get that complete list of services or to set up an assessment, call 620-342-2600. Hometown Healthcare, there to care.
This is John Reed with Hometown Healthcare, and there to care isn't just our motto. It is part of our core values. Our staff is comprised of individuals who act with integrity and commitment to working diligently to serve our patients and their families. Our staff advocates for the patients we respectfully care for in the comfort of their homes. We strive for excellence while providing skilled nursing services and therapy services, disease management, education, and many others. Hometown Healthcare, there to care. Please call 342-2600 or visit us online, hometownhealthcare.net.
And this morning on our Primetime Newsmaker, we are very happy to welcome in via the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber of Emporia, as a lot to talk about here at the state level. But first and foremost, Merry Christmas Eve to you, Mark. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, how's it going, sir?
There we go. We got him.
Oh, good. Good. I lost you there for a second.
Oh, okay. No worries.
We thought we lost you.
I thought I lost you, yeah. I was like, man, I'm just killing it today on the morning show. So, well, Mark, we're happy to have you in here. As you know, Chuck has been mentioning here throughout the morning, you know, there's quite a few things to talk about, starting first and foremost with the food sales tax ending.
Yeah, you guys are still kind of cutting out a little bit.
All righty.
Try the wheel up there, Tegan. I think I forget which one that is up there, but try that. See if that may help out just a little bit. Okay. Okay. We're going to get, again, 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber joining us. Mark, is that a little bit better for you right now? Are you still having issues?
It's pretty low volume.
Okay.
Okay. Well, as we try to get Mark in, I could shout, but that probably would blow the microphone out. But, you know, this is generally seen as not a busy time here for lawmakers, Mark, but obviously with the state food sales tax coming to an end here very soon, this is a move that's, you know, this is going to have a huge impact not only on folks at the, you know, just kind of the grocery level, but it's going to have a huge impact on the state as well.
Oh, sure. It's an important move that we were able to take, you know, 3 years ago, and it's been phased out, or will phase out here January 1. It's going to help a lot across the state, communities, rural areas. So I'm glad we were able to accomplish that without causing too much difficulty with the state budget. So looking forward to it.
What made, because I know there was some back and forth about, you know, whether this is going to move forward just in general terms, and then the discussion came, yes, this is going to move forward, but there were some disagreements on exactly when things were going to phase out or whether it was a phase out versus a hard stop. So maybe take us back over the last couple of years and walk us through how we got to this stage where we kind of had a phased ending and a phased wrap up here of the state sales tax, which has been in place for decades.
Yeah. So, you know, when we first started discussing it about 3 years ago, that, you know, we were collecting, our revenues were going up, and it looked like we were going to be able to do something big here. It's something the governor had also proposed when she was running for a re-election to remove the state sales tax on food. But as we were going through that process with the budget and the look ahead for revenues and so forth, there were many of us that started to question whether or not it was best to do it all in one shot, as the governor had proposed, or to phase it in. And we landed on phasing it in over 3 years, which, you know, looking back, I think is good. It provided, you know, incremental relief along the way, but taking that big of a hit all at once, at that point we were, you know, our revenues weren't consistently exceeding estimates, but they were headed kind of in that direction. There were some down spots prior to that, so it made me nervous to make a big commitment in 1 year, and because of course the budget's composed of a lot of different activities and wants and needs, and so we wanted to be sure we could continue on with some of those other things as well.
Mark, you know, one of the things that we've talked about here the last few years since this has become a talking point is the fact that this would put Kansas on par with several other states that have done away with these food sale taxes. In your recollection, how many other states besides Kansas were still having this food sale tax?
Oh, boy, you're taxing my memory now. Quite a few, at least in our region, had started to remove that state food sales tax. I think, you know, primarily I think it's something that states really over time have been looking at just because it's broad-based enough, everybody's buying food and so forth, that it helps the greatest amount of people over time. And so, you know, states will that haven't done it yet would, I'm sure, are still continuing to look at it. And because it benefits the most people, in my opinion.
Well, Mark, let's talk a little bit closer to home here. Obviously, we're all aware of the news of the closures of Tyson and also Holiday Resort. How much relief do you think this is going to bring to families who may be really impacted by those closures? And, you know, for however long of a time that may be, you know, they may be having to live on unemployment and things like that. Would you say that this comes at a very crucial time for them?
Yes, you know, of course, we didn't predict that a few years back, but certainly any kind of relief, removing that sales tax, is going to help those families that are out there. And, you know, I also want to give a shout-out to all the community organizations and retailers that are also out there helping the Tyson and Holiday Resort families, especially at this time of year. You know, Emporia has always been a generous community, and they're showing it again this time.
Mark Schreiber joining us again here as we talk specifically about the state food sales tax wrapping up here, really New Year's Day. Mark, this is coming, though. You know, you mentioned here about, you know, the trends, specifically the local and immediate trends here with Tyson and Holiday Resort closing down within the next few weeks. But this also comes at a time now, as I think probably you guys had been maybe looking at and at least considering as a possibility when the state's not hitting its revenue numbers like it had been, or at least the projected revenue numbers like it had for 2-3 years plus, and really the back half of the year has seen more misses than hits on that. Just how much of a financial impact does that state sales tax maybe play into the numbers that we're seeing on the monthly level when it comes to revenues?
Okay, I think I got most of your question. You were cutting out a little bit, but it's a significant part of the sales tax revenue, but it's not something that we've ignored because we built that into the budget and revenue projections. So right now our fiscal year starts July 1. I think we're down about $29 million from the revenue estimates that came out, and but it's factored in there so that you know, we don't get caught in a bind. We account for that reduction. We know approximately what it's going to be over time based on historical records. So you know, it's already built into this year's budget and revenue estimates, but our revenues are slowing down compared to our estimates. So, you know, maybe some of the good times in the past couple, 3 years are slowing down a little bit, and we just need to pay attention to the dollars and to all the bills that we pass as far as what budget impact they're going to have.
Again, Mark Schreiber joining us here at 7:31 on KVUE and KVUE.com as our newsmaker interview continues. Mark, obviously this is the bill that, and this is the action that's most, I think, front and center for a lot of folks, especially those that are, you know, like Tegan mentioned, you know, having to deal with the food prices that are escalating as we go to the grocery stores the last several months, really the last few years. But what else is, I guess, maybe adjusting or changing here effective New Year's Day that isn't getting the attention that the food sales tax may be?
You know, No, I think the food sales tax is the major one. The others that are being will come into effect on January 1 are kind of very specific items related to various activities. There's some on standardizing language on criminal history and record check fingerprinting requirements and some of these other ones, but by and large, they don't compare to what the food sales tax elimination impact is going to have going forward. So there's a few that are come into effect on January 1, but I don't think many people are going to recognize them unless they're in a particular industry that is affected by it.
Mark, really quickly, before we let you go and, let you enjoy the Christmas holiday without any interruptions from radio folks, State of the State's coming up here for Governor Kelly here in a couple of weeks. I think that just got announced here late last week. Clearly, the makeup of the House and Senate's going to be a little different than it's been. And memory serves me correctly, supermajorities really in both chambers are probably going to make it a little more difficult, if not a lot more difficult, for the governor to even present her agenda as opposed to maybe actually pushing some things through.
Yeah, the supermajorities in both chambers have increased. It will be a little more difficult for vetoes to be sustained in those chambers. It just depends on what she brings forward. And, we have in the House, we have, I think, 21 new members. Actually, one is a former senator who wasn't going to run, and then unfortunately we had a representative pass away, and he's taking his spot. But so there's several new members in our chamber, and we're all going to be interested in kind of where they're at, representing their districts and their constituents on some of these bigger issues. But we'll see. I think the 15th, I think, is when the governor gives her state of state address, and we see her priorities. We've already been working on the House budget, and so she'll give us her budget that week when we get back, and we'll start comparing notes there. But it's going to be a fairly quick session, too. We're supposed to get out around April 12th. Which is the earliest that I can ever recall, and primarily that's due to shortening some of the breaks that we have. And but looking forward to getting in there again and seeing what people's ideas are, and how we can make it better for Kansas and in my case for the 60th district.
And on top of that, too, you've got new blood. You've got, you've got on the Senate side that you'll be working with, Mike Argerbright coming on board, replacing, obviously, Jeff Longbein. And for here, at least area-wide in the House, you'll have a new representative for Coffey and Osage counties as Brad Barrett takes over for Eric Smith in the 76th.
Right, Brad. And I've enjoyed meeting Brad, at campaign events and so forth. I've known Mike for a few years, and so I'm looking forward to that. I think they both bring a great amount of expertise in their regular jobs, so to speak, Brad in law enforcement and Mike as a school superintendent. That's going to be valuable in both chambers. I'll miss Eric Smith being there because he was kind of my go-to person for law enforcement issues, and now Brad steps in, and he's got a wealth of experience as well. So I'm glad he'll be there.
Outstanding. Mark, anything else we're missing as we just kind of start teasing the 2025 legislative session to come?
Not too much. I just wanted to let people know that my committees have stayed the same. Education, Judiciary, Utilities, and the Legislature Modernization Committee. I'll move my office still on the first floor, but I'll get that information out to folks, and just looking forward to another session and the work that we do.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, we appreciate the work that you do. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time here this Christmas Eve day to update us on things coming up here, and good luck with the upcoming legislative session, and a very Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Well, to you, Tegan and Chuck, Merry Christmas to you and yours as well, and look for maybe it's a little snow at some point. I don't know. Maybe it might be February, but
maybe this, right?
Oh, don't say that.
Christmas spirit.
That doesn't really get us in the Christmas spirit. That just gets us in the work mode, pretty much. But we do appreciate it, nonetheless.
Okay.
House 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber of Emporia joining us here on our Primetime Newsmaker this morning. A lot of great information there, especially on the upcoming end of the sales tax for food and groceries here in Kansas, Chuck.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have a story on that here coming later today on KVUE. As usual, now we